Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Is it going?
Yeah.
Okay. You're listening to the Manic Pixie Weirdo. I'm Abigail, your host. And today, someone who has been on the show in the past, D, local neighborhood baby from the Stress, Depressed, and Anxious podcast. Say hi.
Hi. I'm so glad to be back on this podcast. It is such an honor. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. I was really excited to talk to you about this topic because I have a lot of feelings about it, and it sounds like we have some similar feelings. We were talking off recording or whatever it's called. But do you want to go ahead and drop all your stuff, and then we can just sort of dive back into where we were?
Absolutely. So my podcast is called Stress, Depressed, and Anxious. I have new episodes that come out every single Monday. On there, I talk about mental health topics. And as it relates to my life and my personal daily struggles, I try to find the humor in it all. And if you listen to the podcast, hopefully we can relate and maybe you'll feel a little less alone. You can find me on all your favorite listening platforms. If you just want to go to stressdepressedanxious.com, you'll find all the links to listen. You can listen from the site, make comments, leave reviews, whatever it is that you want to do. It's all there. And you can follow me on Twitter, SD_anxious, and on Instagram at SDAnxious.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming back on.
Absolutely. It's an honor.
Okay. So the topic that we're talking about is our relationship with mental health hotlines. And I brought Dee on because her whole podcast is about mental health and like her experiences and all of those things. So she's a really good person to talk to about this stuff. But I have used mental health hotlines like a couple of times in my life, and they have them for like everything. So it's not just like suicide.
Yeah.
But every single time I've used them, I have not been helped. I have not found it helpful. It has not worked for me. If it has worked for you, I'm really glad you got something out of it that I just did not experience. And I hope, you know, you got what you needed, but it just has never like worked for me. And Dee, I mean, how do you feel about them?
I feel the same way as you. I don't think, honestly, in my experience, and I want to be clear to say that, because like you said, there may be a person out there who's listening who had a different experience, and I'm happy for that person, you know, if you did. But for me personally, no, they have not worked. It's been not a great experience. I have not been helped, and yeah, I just don't feel great about it.
Yeah, so one of the things, so that was our big disclosure at the beginning. Now we're just going to start talking. So everything we say from this point, we're just going to assume everybody understands this is our experience. But before we started recording, I shared an experience that I had, which was every time I've used them, I get bounced around a lot, like put on hold, switched person, had to like explain the whole thing. I felt like I had to explain the whole thing like 1,000 times. Just not helpful stuff at all. So right off the bat, they weren't doing great with me. What about you?
Pretty much the same deal. So, unfortunately, so bad. I mean, it's kind of like being at a doctor's appointment, right? Like
or not a doctor's appointment, but more like an emergency room. Because if you're in the emergency room and you know you're waiting to see a doctor, you see one person that comes in and checks you in, and you have to tell them your whole story, and then another person and another nurse comes in and you got to tell them your whole story, and then to person, it seems like they're not even talking to each other. That also is like some of what happens, some of the feeling. And then, I mean, you're already mentally clearly exhausted, clearly at your wit's end. This is not the time for that kind of thing to be happening. Not to mention those instances where you get put on freaking hold. Can you imagine calling
one of those hotlines? I feel like I'm pretty sure the first time I got put on hold, like, and it very much was like, can you hold, please? Like, it was like, yeah, I was calling the bank or something, you know? And I was very taken aback the first time that happened, because I was like, wait, what? I'm confused. I thought, hold on, this is supposed to be about me. What's happening? I don't
know. I feel like, you know what, it made me feel almost like I had called 911 and they're like, hold please. Like, yeah. What? Excuse me?
Like, this can't wait. This like really can't wait. No, I can't.
It's just,
I'm sorry.
Unreal. Yeah. They have no qualms about it. Like you said, it's just so bizarre. I don't even understand. It's not even they don't even ease you into it. It's like, hold please.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you are thinking that you don't matter, I mean, imagine a moment like that, just reinforcing it. I'm laughing because it's just so wrong.
It's just so bad. Because like, for me, like I was thinking about, you know, our mental health, because like I said, I haven't had a good experience with them for many different reasons. But I was thinking like, so then why have them? Like, what is their purpose? And I was like, so the idea, I think, is a good one. Like having mental health hotlines, you know, for people to access in dire situations. I think it's a good idea. It's a very good idea. How it was executed in the real world, I'm not thrilled about. So there's the whole like being on hold situation, which is an issue for me. The other thing too is that I also felt like once I finally like got to a person, I felt like they were just trying, like they just had a script, which they probably did. And that's not the other person on the other end of the line's fault. That's just the situation that had occurred. And I just felt like it was very scripted. And then at the end of it, it was like they wanted me to book an appointment for like the next day. At one point, they were like, well, there's a thing that you could do, but it's like the doctor's appointment would be in like 3 weeks. I was like, that's really not helpful, like right now, which is what I need. How did you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, I didn't even get to that point in the times that I did call because, okay, so pretty dark, but you guys get it. The one time I called, I was just like, it was a suicide sort of hotline, right? So I called, I got placed on hold. Okay.
It just sounds so ludicrous back. Like sounds so ludicrous. I was in a really bad place and I was thinking about like killing myself, and I called the don't kill yourself hotline and they put me on hold. So that's hold, where please. We're at. Yeah. It's just,
and
so,
you know, got played that hold music thinking, oh my God, like seriously, like I'm sorry, everyone. Like, I'm just recalling my thoughts in this moment. And it's just kind of funny to me now, because you call and you're like crying and you're just at like your wit's end and you want to kill yourself, and you call the do not kill yourself hotline, like you said, and it's like, hold please. And you're like, listen to hold music. I think like my mouth was ajar. I was just kind of like, oh my God, no one cares about me.
Yeah.
And like, they pick up the phone, like you said, they had a script. And at that point, it did sound like I was talking to someone that was obviously reading a script. And I remember at certain, this conversation was really weird because they kept trying to give me solutions to problems, and things that I was describing that didn't have solutions. And finally ending it off with saying, you know, you can always call like emergency services, you know, kind of like passing the, almost like in a passing the buck sort of way, like, oh, can't get off script. So like, you know, if you really are serious about wanting to kill yourself,
Well, the thing that made me laugh, like that's making me laugh, like looking back, is I had that experience too. And but mine, what they told me this this time that I had called was, if you need emergency help, drive yourself to the hospital. I was like, I'm in the middle of a fucking panic attack. There's no way I should be behind the wheel of a car. Like, no.
Yeah. And, you know, like, it's similar to the experience, because I'm like, when you say that, the like, for in if I'm relating it to my experience, it's almost like they would say, well, can you get somebody? Can you call someone? And you'd be like, yeah. Well, no, there's no one I can call. Well, have you considered calling an Uber?
To you. Right. Like, why like, I'm talking to you.
Stop You're trying to. Yes. Like, stop trying to resolve my problems. Like, I'm talking to you. I need your help, not fucking whatever else you're trying to advise me to do, you idiot.
That's the other, well, the frustration for me is like, they would present me with, like you said, like solutions. And I would always be like, yeah, no, I tried that. Like, I did that. That's I've done that. I'm here now because that didn't work.
Exactly.
And then they wouldn't know what to do. And that's when I would get like, please hold. And then like, and then I'm talking to, you know, somebody else again or whatever.
Hold, please.
Yeah. We need shirts that say that. Hold, please.
Hold, please. Is it the do not kill yourself hotline, or is it secretly the kill yourself hotline? We'll never know.
I know. We'll never know. Do they really not want us to do it? Or like, are we?
I mean, really, the other side of it is like, you really don't know, because even though, like you said, the intention of the hotline is probably definitely a good one. However, like we always hear about, obviously, a lot of people. First of all, some people do it as a job, right? They're getting paid off of
right.
it. And, you know, like it's like a call center, like any other call center. I have worked a call center job before in my, you know, past.
God.
And it is like a soul crushing job in a lot of ways. And you're sitting in your cubicle and you just get to a point where you literally don't give a shit about anything. And so if I'm your 50th call for your shift, for your little, you know, job that you have that probably doesn't pay too much, then I can imagine at some point where you adopt the don't give a shit, I'm just reading off a script, good luck with your life, whatever mentality. Yeah, and absolutely. I can feel it, you know, when I call some, a lot of times when I would call those hotlines. So, yeah. And then the volunteers on top of that, like, you know, obviously I'm sure there's a lot of people who volunteer with very great intentions, but.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day.
I mean, do they though? Because wasn't Ted Bundy? That explains a lot, though.
He was.
And
you know what?
That explains a lot, though.
That's probably how he trolled for his next victims. She wanted to kill herself.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so I don't really know the caliber of people that, like, they're letting in. If, like, Ted Bundy got away. And I'm sure he's not the only one. He's just the one we know about. Like.
Oh, yeah. There's probably psychopaths working those hotlines for sure. And, like, getting total mental pleasure off of just being, like, hold, please.
Oh, God. All of a sudden, they turn into Iron Man and go, I like to watch the light blink. You're just like, what is happening?
I mean, it's just, really, you know, when you're calling, and I'll, you know, for the people who are maybe just listening and have not called a hotline and have, maybe you don't personally have any sort of mental health struggles, but you want to, but you're just listening to this. I would say that when you're calling those hotlines, and from my perspective, my whole thing at the end of it was pretty much, you just want to be listened to. You're calling because you want to feel like someone is listening to you and someone cares about you. At the end of the day, no matter why you're calling, that's what it is. If you really, it's like a cry for help, right? Because you could be calling 911. You could, you know, resort to harming yourself or whatever it is that you're feeling. But you've reached a point where you feel so out of control. You just want some person out there on this hotline to listen to you and to make you feel as if they care. They give a shit, you know? Yeah. And that's really the goal. And so, but when you're calling and somebody's reading a script or putting you on hold or putting hold music or, you know, rerouting you, like that is exactly the opposite of what the, like what the goal was and what you were looking for.
I was like, I call those. So like when I called the suicide prevention, whatever it was, yeah, I was in a really bad place, man. That's not a fun place to be, you guys. I wanted a friend. I wanted to talk to somebody who could be my friend for like 30 minutes. That's who I wanted. That's who I thought. That's also kind of, I guess that's my bad because I guess I set these expectations of like what I thought it was going to be.
That's exactly what it should have been. I mean, come on. That's what the heck?
That's what I think too. I felt like that's what I wanted. I wanted a friend. I wanted somebody to talk to me like a friend for 30 minutes. And if that meant all they did was sit there and listen to me like cry and scream and just tell me, don't do it. You know, something like that. That might have been what I needed.
Don't do it. I mean,
<It's> like... instead of hold, please, it's just don't do it.
Don't do it.
Oh, no. No, that cannot be a thing. Never make that a thing, anyone. No.
Should we start our own hotline? Now that would be something, right?
Can we do that? I would totally be down to do that with you.
I would totally be down for that. Just anyone who is like a mental health like based podcaster or people who care. We should just start our own hotline and we should know.
But we could do it like a phone tree situation, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We could do it like a phone tree situation. I'm down, dude. I'm in. Let's do it.
I'm so down for that.
Just to like, I feel like it would be way better than whatever they've got right now.
I know. It has to be.
Let's just do it. Yeah. Do it like a phone tree.
If we say hold, please, it's just to make you laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. And it will have like really it'll be said in really obnoxious ways. So just
hold,
to like
try. Yeah.
Everything just over exaggerated. Let's do it. Oh, that would be so great. I don't know why we can't.
I don't know why we can't either. I think that's important. I guess the only thing is that we can't call it ourselves. I mean, technically.
No, we just podcast about it.
Yeah, we just podcast about it. That's really what it comes down to at the end of the day, right? Like, instead, you just podcast about it because now we have all our friends. I mean, even though it's not a two-way conversation, it still feels better than the freaking hotlines that we call.
Oh my God. It's got to be what we've got to be able to come up with something better than what exists right now, because that is a nightmare. Like I said, though, it's a good idea. It's a good idea. I do think that that is something that we as like a society should have is, you know, understanding that there could be better ways to get in touch with people who are, you know, like at risk of hurting themselves or somebody else. And if there's a fast, easy way to do that, like a hotline that someone could call to sort of help quell the situation, we should have that. We should do that. But not the way it's being done right now.
Exactly. I mean, the way that it's being done right now is so clinical, like in a bad way. You know what I mean? Like, just like, okay, here's a script. You know, good luck with your life.
It feels like you called customer service at the company that has the worst customer service. Like you called Amazon customer service, and
you called customer service for the world. You're like, hello, world. I'm having a bad time now. And they're like, please hold.
Yeah, they are. We're not joking. It's a thing that happens.
Yeah. It's so like, have you tried going to sleep? Maybe just taking a break from the world.
Have you tried just breathing deeply?
Maybe, you know?
Oh God.
And you're like, yeah, I tried all that. Well, there's really no other option for you then.
Okay. For those of you out there that maybe have not ever had this life experience, but you know someone that has, I feel like the chances of that are pretty high. Never tell someone who is in a situation like that to just be happy. You can choose to be happy. Happiness.
That's literally the worst thing.
Off with that shit. No. And I can't tell you the number of times I would get to the end of that list of things that they're like, have you tried? Have you tried? Have you tried? And I'd get to the end of those of that thing and be like, I'm calling you because none of those things work. And they said something, you know, some version of choose to be happy. And I just, it would just make, it would infuriate me because I was like, it's not, that's not how this works. No, no, no. You're misinformed.
I mean, it's just sad at the end of the day. It's like, clearly, you know, and I mean, people do this in real life, right? It's not so uncommon. But of course, if you're calling a curated hotline, you're thinking that the experience is going to be different because people do this in real life. I mean, you tell someone that you're having mental health struggles. And again, they all just say, have you tried being happy? Have you tried happiness? It's like, are you kidding me? You know, it's almost like, and I always compare it to like physical illness because I feel like people need to understand that it's the same sort of thing. Like, I broke my leg. Have you tried just choosing to walk? Yeah. it's pretty painful. I can't do that. Well, have you given it a try, though? You know, like, no. Come on. And you tell them, like, you're having the problem, or you're feeling like, you know, you're very depressed, like you struggle with depression, and they're just like, have you tried not being sad? I mean, like it's, what the again, fuck?
It's just, no, it's very much. And I just, so like, for those of you that don't are out there and like don't know what that is like, that's what that's like. It feels, because like in my brain, I immediately go to anger. Like my brain will, if someone says that to me, I immediately go to anger, and I can lose like control and just be like, what the fuck are you talking? And just like go off. And then but then what happens is I start later, I'll back away and then I'll start thinking about it. And then I'll get really, really upset and really sad at myself, because I just got mad at somebody over something stupid that really doesn't matter. And, you know, and you tell yourself all these things. And so when you're calling those hotlines, that's the place that you have been sitting in for a very long time. And so when I called the hotline, I don't want somebody to tell me, please hold. I want a friend. I want somebody to sit there and go, what's going on, man? How's it? What's happening? Just talk to me. Like, that's what.
Yeah. And you know what? I feel like people may be listening and you might be thinking, like, if you want a friend, why don't you call a friend? Not only does not everyone have a friend, but also like you in those moments don't want to necessarily burden your friends.
Yes.
In those situations, your friends don't know what to say or do either. You're thinking that when you call those hotlines that they have a better idea of what to say or do. But like your friends, a lot of times they don't have an idea of what to say or do. And not only that, you don't want to burden them. You don't want to worry them. And sometimes you don't even want them to know about your personal problems because, you know, like me, if you're like anything like me, you might have trust issues. You might not want, you know, other people to know what you're struggling with. So it's in the same respect that people go to therapists because it's, you know, a situation where you're dealing with a professional and you have that relationship between you where you know that you're, whatever you're saying is not going anywhere because you have that clause, that confidentiality. Mm-hmm. Same idea behind a hotline. You're anonymous. You can talk to someone and you don't have to have all those extra worries about, oh, they're not going to understand. Oh, no, they're going to think that I'm crazy. Oh, you know, you don't have to have all those anxieties. So that's the reason why. And that's it. But in those moments, like you said, it's, you want a friend. You want somebody you can talk to that can understand what you're saying, that will listen to you, and that will make you feel like they care. And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, it just, it, like you said, I'm somebody who, it's a combination. If I get to that point, it's a combination of like anxiety, stress, feeling like I'm burdening other people. That's why I don't reach out to other people. That's why that whole idea too of like, well, just reach out to somebody. It's not that easy because if I do that in that state, it's like you said, I know they're not going to have any better ideas because we've ran through them already. But two, it does feel like I'm burdening them. It really does, because I don't want to bother them with my problems because I need to be able to deal. I put that pressure on myself of like, I need to be able to deal with this by myself, like, and figure this out. But I want an outside source because most of the time when I'm in that place, I feel like I'm going crazy. And
yeah,
I need
you can't trust your head. You can't.
And I need some, and I need a third party. I don't need somebody who's in the stuff with me, man. I don't need that. I need somebody who's outside, a third party that can look in and I can tell them what's going on. And they can look in and go, oh, no, you're looking at this correctly. Or, okay, up to here, I'm with you, but maybe not to here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like somebody to work it through with you, like figure out how we got to this place. Does this sound like therapy? It does. This hotline thing needs to be like mini therapy, like therapy light.
Yeah.
Because therapy this is light. For those times. This is for those times in between the 7 days that you have in between therapy appointments, because you can't be at therapy every day. Well, if you can afford that, congratulations, you're doing better than the rest of us.
That sounds amazing.
You're doing better than the rest of us, man.
You are. You are. And I totally get your point, too, about like, yeah, you want in those moments to have that situation where you can, you know, express yourself to that person who has such a fresh perspective. Because when somebody knows you, okay, and you yeah. know the person, you both are looking at it through the lens of which that you know each other. Like you, if I know you personally, I know your habits, I know you in like our friendship or whatever, I'm looking at you through a particular lens that I see you in. And every response that I give you, you're looking at it through like, this is my friend who I know thinks like this. And you know what I mean? Like you're going to view it or perceive it through the lens of that, you know me. And so when it's an anonymous party, a third party, which is why therapy is so great in a sense, is mm-hmm. that you know that their perspective is unbiased. It's a fresh perspective. It's unbiased. And you trust it more because that person has no real motivation to lie to you one way or another. They're not afraid like, oh, if I say this, ooh, like you might take it a certain way, or like there's no like, you know what I mean? Like they just yeah. express themselves to you. They have a fresh perspective. They're looking at all angles of the situation in a different way than somebody who knows you personally. And you feel more confident when they're giving you, you know, these responses and making you feel heard and understand, you know, where you're coming from. I mean, it's totally different experience.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's one of the reasons why I love therapy so much, is because it's almost like having a mediator. So if you've ever like been to court or you've seen like yeah. Law and Order or whatever, it's yeah. like having your own personal mediator. And yeah, it's like I trust the therapist because they're looking, they're not in it. They're not in the situation with me. And so I need somebody who's not in it with me to like tell me if in fact, yes, no, you're being crazy. You're like, you know, you're being paranoid or something, you know, but if I'm not, I need somebody to be like, no, you're looking at this correctly. And that's pretty much what therapy does. But the hotline thing needs to be like, you know, mini therapy, therapy light, because
I love that. Maybe that's what we should call our hotline. Therapy light.
Therapy light.
Now yeah, trademark,
you know. Yes, done. But I just need like that's what that needs to be. At least that's how I sort of like envisioned it. These are kind of the things that I envisioned when I very first called, and it turned out to not be that. So like I guess, you know, from their perspective, they're probably saying, "Well, it's you know, you have really high expectations." I do. I'm high.
No, I just don't think that that's fair to say. And obviously I'm biased, but I don't think that that's fair to say, because I feel like the expectations are what they purport themselves to be. You say that you're a suicide prevention yes. hotline, let's just say, then mm-hmm. I expect that you're going to tell me more than Google does, because if everything that you're saying, I can freaking Google it and it says, take a deep breath, don't do this, and relax or take a walk, then what the hell am I calling you for? You know, it just, yeah. it's, I'm not saying the people that are responding need to necessarily have like a bunch of experience, but I'm saying like, you should come oh. in from a human perspective, not like you're reading a script, not like you don't give a shit, first of all, not putting people on hold. And I understand that there's a limit to the number of people you have or whatever, but even if you do have to put someone on hold, don't just say hold, please. Like talk to them like you give a shit and let them know, you know, feel and know that you do give a shit. You know, yeah. it just should be different. And because you have to keep in mind, like, what the person's mental state is when they're calling. You know, this is an emergency. And even if it's not an emergency, like, oh, I'm going to kill myself, and you just want to talk, it is an emergency. Because even that just wanting to talk, if you don't get that, it sends you down this terrible spiral, you know? And it's just, I mean, it should be treated as such. And I just think that they, for in my experience, do a slapshot job of it. And they,
it's just not worth calling. Because, well, and I haven't just called, like, the suicide prevention hotline. There are, like, other hotlines too. You know, there's some for, like, the anonymous, all of them, all the anonymouses.
All the anonymouses.
Have their, like, personal hotlines and stuff. I've called a couple of those one time. Again, incredibly unhelpful. It pretty much the same. They have, like, the same, it's kind of the same attitude. It kind of sucks. And then they have, there's one for, like, eating disorders and, like, self-harm. But there was a guy, I listened to a podcast, I don't remember what, I think it was Ear Hustle, maybe it wasn't, no, it was something else. But I listened to a podcast, and this guy set up a hotline of his own, but it's like a website. And what he did was he made it exclusively, like, for people who get high, like, get too high, and they're having a really bad trip. They can go online and talk, or, like, call.
Oh my God, that would have been so good.
They talk to people. They just talk, like, it's, I think, I'm pretty sure it's, like, completely volunteer based, but they just talk to you like a friend would. And, like, that's what I thought, like, that's what they do. That's their whole thing, is they, like, talk people who are having a bad trip or, like, got too high, just, like, down, and, like, to cool them off, and just, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that would, like, have been a great hotline for me for many instances. Yeah.
Right? Right. But, like, that's what I thought. So I heard that in a podcast, and so that, I think, is what I thought all the hotlines were. They are not.
Yeah, they fall short of that in a lot of ways. And which it's just really sad,
because, you know, usually when I'm really depressed, I don't have the energy to do drugs. So I can't,
which is,
like,
a
get
good
too
thing.
No. I just mean, like, so that means I can't call that hotline, because that means I can't.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's kind of exclusive. So it's not, you know, like, if you're in a, you know, if you're,
I mean,
really depressed and you're
friends,
like, well, I suppose you could.
High on life, and I got too high on life, and now I'm fucked up. I'm having a bad trip.
Yeah, that would work. Probably. I don't know. There's probably, it's fine. But that's what I thought, like, all hotlines were. And that is not what they are. But I feel like that would be good to have that as all of them. Like, that's what the suicide, that 100% is what the suicide prevention hotline needs to be. Like, I don't know what went wrong, but, like, they need to take their model and make that the suicide. Because that would actually help some people. I really think it would.
Yeah,
it would,
I
help
feel like
me.
Suicide is weirdly, like, stigmatized, which is really funny to say, because I think a lot of people might, you know, feel like they understand the seriousness of suicide. But I think still, like, the way that people approach it and how they think about it is, to me, from what I've heard from people, just totally backwards. A lot of people are biased, okay, because they've know somebody who's committed suicide, and they're either biased because they feel like it's like they feel grief and things like that towards it, or they may feel anger towards, you know, people who say that they want to commit suicide. Or some people feel apathetic towards it, like, you know what, if you want to do that, do it. You know, like, I've heard a lot of people say a lot of different things. And I feel like the real definition, or the real approach that people, lens that people should view suicide from, is, again, it's like a physical illness. You know, say you have cancer and you try to battle cancer and you do all these things. You go to the doctor, you go to chemotherapy and all these things. And unfortunately for you, cancer kills you and you die. Yeah. That's the same thing I would relate suicide to, is that you have a mental illness and you battle and you fight and you fight. You go to therapy, or maybe you don't, but you try. You try every day to live. You keep trying to live, you know, through the disease that you have. And it may kill you. And suicide is that. Suicide is a disease killing you, because everybody who commits suicide, it's not even though they say that they want to, it's not because they personally want to, it's because of the way that they feel. No. And that's exactly what that is. And so it's the disease killing you. And some people battle with it their whole lives, and they happen not to be, you know, they don't die from it. And some people have that remission where, you know, they no longer, you know, feel the symptoms of the, whatever disease that,
right,
that they have.
Right, but that doesn't mean it won't come back. Just because you don't feel that way right now doesn't, feelings aren't fact.
Right.
Feelings are, they are, you know, ever flowing. It's like water. You know, they change all the time. And so just because you're not there right now does not mean that you won't be there again at some point, you know, but it could be 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. You know, let's hope so.
And you just don't know. And it's more than just a feeling. I do want to point out too, like, if just for people to understand, like, it's more than just the feeling of depression or whatever. It's also like the chemical imbalance is the portion that really makes it a disease, because we have natural responses to things that happen in our lives that make us feel depressed, that make us feel anxious, that make us feel whatever it is. But it's when you get into that state where it's chronic, it's a chemical imbalance in your brain, you know, where these things are happening to you, and it doesn't have any real rhyme or reason. It's not in response to something in your life. It just is. That's when it becomes clinical, and it becomes more of a disease, more of an illness, you know, mental illness, and something that needs to be treated. Because I think a lot of people still, again, they think like, well, I've been depressed before. Okay. So what? Like, I've been anxious before. Yeah. In response to normal events that make you feel anxious, but not, you know, in a debilitating way, not, you know what I mean? Like, it's like people saying I had a stomach ache before. Sure. But that's not stomach cancer. You know, like, it's totally different. And so
it's completely different.
Yeah.
It's just more serious. And I think it does need to be taken more seriously. I mean, obviously, yeah, I've tried to commit suicide several times in my life. Very clearly it didn't work, because I'm here today. So
yeah, thank goodness it didn't work, because I love podcasting with you.
Oh, yeah, so sweet. No, I'm just saying, like, it is a thing. And a lot of it did happen when I was really young. And you know what happens when you're really young? All these like hormones and like weird things start happening with your body, and you're really susceptible to feeling like everything bad that happens is the end of the world.
Yeah, and that's why teenagers are so dramatic. But yeah, right, that's true. That's totally true.
But you know what I'm saying? And there needs to be something there, because I would venture to guess that there would be a certain number of kids that would call, that would benefit from having a third party friend that they could call, that they know that they could call at any time. And they're going to get a real person, and somebody's going to talk to them and not put them on hold or play elevator music.
Hold, please. Kill yourself.
Welcome to Don't Kill Yourself.
Where we help you to kill yourself.
Right.
By reading from a script.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, suicide happens when you're an adult. Like, there are things that happen. But if we can equip kids with the tools, you know what I'm saying? Like, if there's a place for these kids to go, because that would have really helped me. I feel like it would have helped me to have somebody, you know, that I could talk to, you know, therapy light, you know, kind of a thing, that I would know. I would have that security and knowing that, you know, there's no judgment. I feel like that would have helped me a lot. And that's not what it is right now, but that's what it needs to be, because there are kids that need that help. It's not just adults that need the help. This affects everybody.
Totally. I completely agree with that. And, you know, I would say that with kids, things that happen in your formative years are extremely habit forming. They get ingrained in you. This is why, obviously, just to give a broad example, this is when we learn languages. This is when we learn so many habits that stick with us for the rest of our lives. This is when any abuse that takes place can cause such mass effects. Like, if you ever see, you know, things about psychopaths and sociopaths. There's almost cookie cutter you know, bad things that happen in their formative years every single time, because that's a time where you're the most vulnerable. That's why you have a caretaker, you know, in the form of your parents, because you need it, because you're everything is so sensitive. And that's why they, you know, limit drug use and all those things. They restrict them because they understand, you know, everyone understands that your brain is not fully developed and you're very sensitive. You're like a sponge. You're absorbing everything. So if you're absorbing negative things at that time, and it's such a high sensitivity time where it is making such an ingrained impact in you, then yes, it's a time where a hotline where you could talk to somebody would be very beneficial, because you're a lot of times for kids, especially, your only source is really your parents. And if they're not good to you, obviously it's going to cause a lot of terrible effects. So if you could have another resource, I mean, that would be great. And I mean, when I was growing up, I really didn't even know about those hotlines, first of all. But also, like, I guess if I did, it really wouldn't help. And I probably would be more sensitive to hold, please. You know, so that wouldn't help either.
Right. Oh, my God. Okay. So right now I'm just sort of, we talked about daydreams on her podcast. It was released Monday. Go check it out on Stressed, Depressed, and Anxious. But we talked about dreams, and I got, So I was just, daydreaming. That's why I brought the dreams up, is because I was daydreaming while you were talking, kind of about what it would look like what we could do, or like, just so my idea is, we do this whole thing. What if we had, like, okay, if anybody out there is an app designer, design an app, and one that will do like calling or texting. And could you do it like a phone tree situation? So, but like where people could sign up to do it anonymously, like be in the phone tree anonymously. That way nobody knows who they're talking to. And that way you can have the option to either call and like physically hear someone's voice, or, you know, like chat, like text chat with them. I don't know. It might be a
bad idea. What, like,
but that's sort of what I was daydreaming about.
Have you ever used one of those like chat things? Because I never have, and I'm kind of wondering about it.
I've used like Discord, but not for something like suicide hotline or something like
that. Oh, did you use Discord though for like a mental health sort of like hotline-y situation, or?
Yeah, I have in the past. It was fine. I prefer to like be on the phone, and I would prefer somebody to talk to me, but there might be somebody out there that prefers to text. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm on the same boat.
Yeah. I'm somebody who, it just helps when I feel like there's a conversation with somebody and like, I can hear you, that kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah. Because the thing is, like, you feel so alone in those moments. You know, I talk about that a lot on my podcast, but it's the truth. Like, you feel so alone in those moments. And I think for me, and it, like, from what I'm understanding from you too, like, it helps. Yeah. Way more to hear a voice. And I think that's, honestly, not to segue too much off of our topic, but like, I think for me, that's like the problem that I have with like, I guess like stuff like, text therapy that's been coming out recently, you know, where you could text a therapist, and those little apps where you could do that. Doesn't do it for me. A lot of people have success with it, but it doesn't do it for me.
Yeah. Well, but also for me, we talked about this when we talked about depression on the other episode, but yeah, I don't like the Teladoc thing. I just don't like the Teladoc thing. Because I am somebody that if I'm going to therapy, I want, you know, like a physical person there. There is something about that for me that like makes it more comforting. It just sort of becomes really impersonal if it's like over a chat, like a video chat or something. At least that's what it is for me.
Because I mean, being able to see, because it's not just what you're saying, it's also your body language, it's also, you know, how you're looking, because sometimes that's different. I mean, even in live therapy for me, it's like, I may be saying that I'm fine, you know, but like my face doesn't look like I'm fine. And my therapist being able to identify that is really key a lot of the time.
Yeah, but that's why I don't think that the suicide hotline needs to be that formal. Like, I feel like it just needs to be like super casual, like you're calling a friend, you know, just like I'm calling this anonymous, like just this stranger, and we're just going to like talk to each other like human beings, and we're going to work some stuff out in like, you know, we're going to do it. And then maybe I won't feel like I need to die like that.
Yeah, because like you said, this is therapy light. This is like the mini version. This is like, yeah, you know. And a lot of times it's funny because sometimes in therapy after, you know, certain sessions or whatever, or during certain sessions, you may try to lie, you know what I mean, about certain things.
Oh my God.
You just want to put that wall up between yourself and your emotions, yeah, and things that have happened. But when, for me at least, when I'm calling those hotlines, like, there's none of that, because for me, when I'm calling, it's like you've reached a point of like, you just can't do it anymore. And you really
you just
do want
to stop.
Yeah. It's so you're more desperate just when you're calling the hotline. Stop. And that's why I think it's more critical even
well,
for
I
them
am.
To be saying the right things.
Yeah. And the reason that I'm thinking it needs to be like the phone tree situation is because, you know, not when you call 911, it's like when you call 911, if you've ever been in a situation where you have to like call 911 and it is a major emergency, like you need an ambulance right now or like somebody will die. That's, and then if you've ever gotten off that phone call and they're like, well, somebody will be there in 10 minutes, like that's what this feels like. And so like it needs to be somebody, it needs to be one, a human being on the end of that phone, but B, it needs to be somebody who has the tools to be able to like walk with you through this experience that you're having and be a friend about it, but also tell you, like, give you some hard truths if that's what you need, but also be like, man, it's gonna be okay, like we're gonna figure this out.
Yeah. And similar to 911, I mean, 911 operators obviously have a certain level of training, and they also have a script. You know, they answer the same way and certain responses are the same. However, they recognize that every situation and every person calling in is totally unique and totally different. And they're able to have an active conversation with you that's not just scripted. It's not just, you know, robotic. It is an active conversation while they're thinking as a human being, to think on their feet, to help you in an emergency situation. So if they can do that, I think like mental health hotline, it's kind of the same thing. It's like less frantic, but you should be having a human conversation. Sure, there can be some things that may be scripted. There can be some key responses to very common circumstances that require.
Like if you answer the phone, if I get bounced to you and I'm very clearly crying, you can probably script something like, can you take a deep breath? You know, like that is an appropriate moment.
Exactly. Not just please hold.
Yeah. Never going to get over that. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. That's a great t-shirt.
Okay. It is a great t-shirt.
No, but I just, it's very much like, I think I'm more upset about the fact that I very much like the idea of hotlines for mental health, but I don't feel like they're being taken seriously. And I feel like that stems a lot from just societal pressure of like, you know, nobody, I feel like people still really don't take mental health very seriously. And this, I feel, is a part of mental health.
And you can tell the difference when they care, I will say. Because like, okay, so I
really can.
I watch a TV show called Supernatural, which is now off air. You like it? Okay, great. You're a fan.
I love Supernatural, yes.
Are you a Sam or Dean girl?
A Dean.
Yeah, duh. Sorry, Sam girls out there.
I want that. Yeah, bye.
You know what? I got to invite you back on the pod because we got to talk about this. I've been wanting to talk about it for a while. Okay, almost everyone I had on like didn't really watch it too much, so we gotta talk.
I haven't seen the last season yet though, so don't spoil it. I haven't seen it yet.
No, I haven't either. I'm not gonna see it.
I know, that's my thing, is that like I haven't seen it yet because I'm so like I don't want it to be over, and I feel like if I don't watch it, then it's like not over yet.
Hard same. Like I literally go back and watch all the I go back and I watch all the previous seasons and I still will not watch season 15. I don't care. Actually, no, I'm lying. I have watched a couple episodes from season 14 or season 15, I should say. But I never went past those first couple episodes and I don't plan on it and I'm not going to watch. My sister's so mad at me because she's like, can you please watch? I've already seen it. I want to talk to you. I'm like, no.
No, it will not be over. No,
it will not be over. But yeah, point being that it was really cool. Anyway, because
you see, that's what you need. You need somebody like that to be like, oh my God, have you seen, like, to just offhandedly mention some TV
cool
show
thing and that then brings you out of your, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you need.
But yes, they started the, I think it was Misha who plays Castiel. They started like a hotline, you know, suicide prevention hotline.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, called Keep Fighting, and they did that for a while, and people volunteered, like fans of the show too, like volunteer for it, and you know, different cast members and things like that. And there were so many beautiful positive experiences from it. I even called it not in an emergency just to kind of see what it was like. It was amazing, totally different experience. You could tell that they cared, and I think like that's the thing. Like, you can tell the difference between when it's robotic and when people actually give a shit. And that makes me confident that, yes, changes obviously need to be made and they can be made. And it's just like you said, unfortunately, society doesn't quite take those things seriously. They understand that it's a serious situation, but they don't take it seriously because they can't empathize. They don't know how to put themselves in other people's shoes when they're not experiencing those problems. And so, unfortunately,
yeah.
There's just a lot of work to do. And yeah.
We can, you know, we're what happened to it? I love, first of all, nerds for the win. We're
yes.
So great.
We're such nerds, we're so, but I don't care. We're great.
So, well, because that sounds like just a giant group, because the Supernatural fandom is huge, you guys. It's
so
fucking huge.
Huge.
If you don't know, like, just understand it is, if not as big as Harry Potter, it has at least that many people. Like, there, it's huge. But it just sounded the way you described it, like a whole bunch of Supernatural fans just like banded together and like went to like help their fellow humans. And it
team
was like,
team free will, keep fighting. Yeah.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
You have a choice.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. And I don't know what happened
what
to
happened
it. I didn't to really
you?
Follow up with it. It may still exist. I don't know. But yeah.
If
I'll have to check and give it a Google.
Yeah. Do that. That'd be great. And then we can put that number in the description of the podcast episode.
Oh, yes.
Instead of
yes,
1-800 don't kill
yes.
yourself.
1-800 don't. No, you just got an episode title. 1-800 don't kill yourself.
I did.
That is a good yeah. one. I love it.
That's a good place to like go out, though, I think. Do you want to drop all your links and stuff? And we will definitely have to have you back on. I love talking to you. Oh my God, you're so much fun. I have so
you're
much fun
so
with
much
you.
Fun.
I laugh. This is so great. And I found a fellow nerd.
I'm so excited. Same.
Awesome.
I'm so excited that you're a Supernatural fan.
I'm so excited. This is really exciting. I don't think you understand. I feel like I just won an Oscar.
Oh my God,
I like it too. Okay. Okay, you can talk now. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, again, it's such a pleasure to be on the podcast. Again, I love it here. And if you want to check out my podcast, it is called Stressed, Depressed, and Anxious. You can find it anywhere you like to listen, or you can go to the website stresseddepressedanxious.com and you'll get all the links. You can listen from the website. You can read my blogs, chat with me, anything you want. You can also follow me on Twitter, SD_anxious, and you can follow me on Instagram at SDAnxious. And episodes drop every Monday.
Yay! All right. As always, guys, be kind and stay weird.
Stay weird.
Step into the world of power, loyalty,
and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.